Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning into Mimi's Message. You are listening to Mimi's Message by Bernice. We have been talking about the different prayer watchers, and we are wrapping up the prayer watchers. We've talked about the first prayer watch, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. And now today, we are talking about the eighth prayer watch. So I hope that you're ready to wrap up the prayer watch and learn about what the eighth prayer watch is all about. So let's tune into the eighth prayer watch.
We pour it out
before.
pour it out.
We pour it out before.
See, we pour it out. Breaker and the best of box before you to be in your presence, to be in your presence, just to be in your presence. Pour it out, we pour it out, we pour it out, we pour. Come on, pour it out before him. Come on, pour it out before him. Come on, break your alabaster box. Come on, pour out your oil. Come on, pour it out. Come on, give it to him. Give him your best. Give him your best worship tonight. Come on, we came to lay on our faces tonight. We came to seek the King of Glory. Pour it out. 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 I came to pour.
Break it open.
Break it open.
Yeah.
Break it open.
so let's have a time of prayer. So the song that was just sang was by Embassy Worship. It's called We Bow Down. I loved your prophetic worship. So let's have a moment of prayer. Lord, I just thank you, most gracious and all-consuming Father. We bless your holy name. We lift your name on high today. We glorify you. We say hallelujah. Praise to your name, God. We exalt you. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on our table. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you, God, for the jobs that we have. We thank you for our family. We thank you, Father, for a place to lay our heads. We thank you, God, for every circumstances that you have resolved, God, and every circumstance that you are resolving in this time. Father, we say thank you ahead of time. We say thank you for the victory that is to come. We praise and we worship you and we exalt your name, God. We say hallelujah, praise unto the throne of the Lord. We exalt you, Elohim. We exalt you, El Shaddai. We exalt you, Jehovah Rapha. We exalt you, Jehovah Nisi. We exalt you, Jehovah Tiskunu. We exalt your name today and we glorify your name, God, and we lift your name on high. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you, God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless your holy name, God. There is no God beside you. There is no God that can compare to you. You are the God of gods. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Elohim. You are the El Shaddai. You are the King of kings, Father. And so we praise your holy name. We lift your name on high and we glorify your all-consuming power today, Father. So God, I pray over everyone that is listening at this time that their heart posture is to you, God, that their heart posture is to you, their mind is to you, their body, their spirit, their soul is in tune to your glory and to your majesticness and to your great mercy and to your great abundant blessings and your great favor upon them. Father, I pray that, Lord, everyone that is in need of a touch from you, everyone that is in need of your glory, everyone that is in need of your hand, everyone that is in need of your face to see your face shine on them, the light of the Lord shine on them. God, I pray that, Lord, they will come in that encounter with you. They will come in that revelation of you, and they will come in that atmospheric shift of who you are, God. That, Father, whatever circumstance that is in their lives at this time, Father, I pray that, Lord, let the heaven open up and pour down for them that revelation that they need, that breakthrough that they need. I pray that, Lord, you would send your angels east, west, south, north in their circumstances, in their house, in their cities, in their towns, in their nations, Father, in your countries, God, to do a work in the land, to do a work in the people, to do a work in their lives, God. So we stand in all of you, God, and we stand in reverence in what you are doing and what you are already established. So, Father, I pray right now and I release the countries to you. I release Germany to you. I release Italy to you. I release Australia to you. I release China to you. I release USA to you, God. I release, Father, Zimbabwe to you. I release Africa to you, God. I release, Father, all the countries that are in need of the things that are happening in the countries, God. I release them to you. I release Ireland to you, God. I release Italy to you. I release Australia to you. I release Canada to you, God. I pray that, Lord, you will send forth your angels in the spirit realm, God. The angels that are to be sent there, the healing angels, the deliverance angels, the revivalist angels, God, even the breakthrough angels, God. I pray that, Lord, you will send your fighting angels, your warrior angels in these lands, God, to set in motion what it is that you're setting in motion to break the assignment of the enemy off of your people, Father, and that they will speak, God, and it shall be established what you want them to establish. They will move, Father, and the things of the enemy will fall at their feet, God. So, Father, I pray that, Father, I pray that, Lord, there will be breakthrough that will start to emerge in these countries, God, that whatever it is that they are going through, God, I pray that, Lord, it will be submitted and there will be a reversal, God. There will be a reversal in the, there will be a shift. There will be a shift in that whatever it is that the enemy has had a hostage of in their lives, in their cities, in their countries, God, that a shift happens, Father, for your glory to be known. That shift happens, Father, for the for the harvest to be poured down on your people. The shift will happen, Father, for the fire of God to be consumed on your people, because your word says, God, in Acts 2, that Lord, there is coming a time, Father, and it's already here, God, that Lord, in the last days, Father, you will pour out your spirit upon our flesh, Father, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, God, and your young men will see visions, God, and your old men will dream dreams. So Father, I pray for that consuming fire to fall on your people, to baptize them in the spirit, to refine them in spirit, in mind, in soul, God, and in physical, Father. Refine everything that they need to be refined. So let your consuming fire fall on people, God, on your people in the land, to shift the atmosphere, to shift it, Father, to shake the earth, Father, that the revival of what you are calling for to happen will start to emerge in your people, God, in your people. And so, Father, I pray for this seventh hour, God, the seventh hour that you're doing in this hour, Father, that the things that you're shifting, the things that you're doing in this hour, God, I pray the Lord, let us be open to receive it, God. Let us be open to flow with you in what you're doing. So, God, I pray for the time that we're going to spend to review the 8 prayer wash, that, Lord, what you have called for it to happen at this time will take its position. And, God, I decrease myself so you will increase, God, that you will speak through me to your people at this time, Father. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven. Let it be so on earth, God. And so we seal this prayer, Father, with the blood of Jesus and your consuming fire. And God, we are in expectation. We are in expectation of what you are doing to manifest right before our eyes. That glory and hallelujah and praise and adoration will always be given to you. So we glorify you in advance, Father. We glorify you, God, in advance. We glorify you, God, in advance. And we thank you and we bless this time, God, with your fire, God, and with your blessings, God. We thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so the 8 prayer watch is all about basically understanding what you do during the time 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. because that's when the 8 prayer watch is taking place, okay? And so we look to see what the 8 prayer watch is about. So this is a time of the hour of dying to yourself and rejoicing in the power of the cross. What does it mean to die to yourself? Basically meaning that your spirit is in charge and your flesh is dying. Your flesh is basically submitted to your spirit. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak? That is what it means to die to yourself. Jesus was denying himself sleep to pray, and when he came to see the disciples, he asked them, couldn't you watch with me for an hour, you know, to pray? And so when you die to yourself, like we talked about in the previous podcast, we talked about what it means to fast. Fasting is dying to yourself. You're depriving your flesh of something so that your spirit is in charge. So yours might be, you know, what it means to die to yourself might be, you know, depriving yourself of ice cream or of watching a certain movie or, you know, having something that you could live without, maybe social media. So it's a time of dying to yourself and rejoicing in the power of the cross. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that there's power, you know, in the name of Jesus. There's breakthrough in the name of Jesus. There is power in the cross, right? And so basically you're rejoicing in the fact that God has given you power through the death of Jesus Christ. And so that is what you are looking to at this time. We also see that we can receive God's help because of the selfish, the selfless act of Jesus Christ, right? Many of us are selfish, I would say. Many of us have done selfish things. But Jesus is the ultimate selfless person. He literally laid his life down for us, for our sins. I don't know about you, but I cannot lay my life down for nobody. I cannot lay my life down for myself. you know, to go on the cross and be crucified. That is a big thing to do. But Jesus in a form of a man laid down his life for us so that we can celebrate and rejoice in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus died on the cross, right, and was resurrected, so the Bible calls us to die to ourselves and live for Christ. He died and he was resurrected. So there's like a transformation that is happening when you're dying to yourself, that you are resurrecting into a newness, a new transformation that is happening. Especially when you're fasting, there is a transformation that is happening internally because your flesh, you're dying to yourself. And so that you're living, you know, for Christ, you're living through Christ, you're living in the power of Jesus Christ, right? When we look in Galatians 2:20, we can see that in the NIV. Let's look at that. Let's look at what Galatians 2:20 says in the NIV. All right, so let's look in Galatians 2:20. So I hope you have your Bibles up. So what it says in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So meaning that when we become one with Christ, we are no longer living in our own will. We are living through the will of the Lord. We have submitted ourselves to take up the cross of Jesus Christ, to take up our own cross that the Lord has given us, okay, to be able to walk and do the things that God is calling us to do. Because we know that when we become one with Christ, you know, this Christian life is not petals and roses, you know. The more you are in love with the Lord, the more you are walking with God, you're going to face your own issues. You're going to face your own circumstances, your own mountains that you have to climb. Just as Jesus had to face his own cross, we have our cross to face, you know. And so we have to remember that, you know, when we are crucified with Christ, that we no longer live, but Christ live in us, meaning that, you know, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, because Christ is in us, right? The hope of glory. So we are able to do the things that, you know, Christ has equipped us to do, which is why each of us have an evidence of Jesus Christ in us, because we are one with Christ. We have become one with Christ by praying the salvation prayer, by dedicating our lives to the Lord. If we have the Holy Spirit in you, you have an evidence of Jesus Christ in you. And so we are not in our own self anymore. We are submitted to the Lord. Our body has been overtaken by Jesus Christ. Our spirit has been overtaken by the Holy Spirit, right? Because we know that the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So if you have Jesus in you, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have an evidence of the Trinity in you, right? And so let's continue. Moreover, those who accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice can now live a triumphant life through him and are allowed to come boldly before the throne of God the Father. That makes us a co-heir, right? We are co-heir. It says in Romans, right? When you read the book of Romans, it says we are co-heir with God and with Christ, okay? We are not slaves. We are co-heir. What is a co-heir? Somebody. So we know that a co-heir is somebody who shares the same inheritance, right? As someone in the family or in a relationship with somebody. So when we look in Christianity, what a co-heir means is this. A co-heir in Christianity is Romans 8:17. Okay, let's look at that in the New King James Version. It says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, is if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I want to look at the NIV version. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. And that's where I like that translation, because what it shows as is that, you know, in Christ, when we are co-heir with Christ, we are going to, you know, share his glory, his power, right? God has given us power. It says in Luke 10:19, right? He's given us power. We have power that Jesus died to give us, right? Because before Jesus left, he said that, you know, many of you will do more than I have done, right? More miracles than he has done, right? He says that we are going to do more than he has done on earth. When he was on earth, we will do more than that. You will do more than these, right? And so if we are able to do more than Christ, we also have to be able to endure, you know, what Christ had to suffer as well. And that is how we are when we become one with Christ, that every one of us have a cross that we have to bear. We have a suffering that we have to go through, because the Bible says that, you know, count it all joy when you go through many trials, because the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. And so when you become a Christian, it's not just roses and petals. You go through things. The enemy is there to do a lot against you, because you have making the choice to follow Christ and bear the cross of Jesus Christ. There are good times, all right, and there are suffering times, okay? So with Christ, there are suffering times, times where you are going through the baptism of suffering, right? And then there are times when you're going through the glory, right? Because when we look in the Bible, I believe in Acts, the two boys were like, you know, let us sit with you. You know, we want to sit with you. And Jesus was like, you cannot drink the cup that I'm going to drink, meaning that you cannot go through the suffering that I'm going to go through. And so, you know, none of us are going to go on the cross to die. Because that's already established, because we know that God sent Jesus Christ to do that already. But there are different things that we have to go through to endure. There are different sufferings. Everybody has a level or an amount of suffering that they're going to go through. And so that is what Jesus talks about when he says that, you know, we are going to go through suffering, suffering of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? Because he laid his life for us so that we can live. He says, I came to you know, live my life for you so that you can have abundant life, right? And that is the abundant life that Christ is with us and living with us. And so, moreover, we know that, you know, to come boldly means that we are freely to speak to God about all that is on our heart and receive his mercy for our situation. So we know that, you know, when Christ died, it gave us the ability to be boldly bow before the throne of God and speak to God in how we need to speak to him. When we look in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Right? It's through grace that we obtain what we obtain from the Lord. Time to change or shape history. This is also a time to change or shape history. This was the time, during this 8 prayer watch, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., was the time that God changed history, because this watch happens to be the time that Jesus died on the cross, which is why we're talking about the cross of Jesus so much, because this is the time. It was around 3 p.m. that he died on the cross. Jesus went through 6 hours of suffering for the deliverance of humankind and of this world. Think about it. 6 hours. That is a lot. 6 hours. I mean, can you think about a time where you suffered for 6 hours on a cross in the heat of the day, being thirsty with your arms stretched wide on the cross? Can you think about that? I can't, because I don't know if I can endure that, you know? I don't think I can endure that at all. So we see that this time was a time of suffering, you know, a time of suffering for Jesus Christ. When we look in Matthew 20:20, it says, the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 21, it says, What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right, may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. And this is what Jesus said to the mother. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? And that means the cup, the suffering that Jesus was going to go through, the time he was going to be crucified. Can they endure that? And they said, we can, they answered. 23, Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand, to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And so we see that, you know, they wanted to endure what Jesus was going to go through. Even Jesus himself was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane was like, God, Father, if you would let this cup pass me by. This is the cup that he was talking about, the suffering. He was about to go through the beating, the bruising, the crucifixion, his hands being nailed to the cross, all of that. He said, if you will let this cup pass me by, but let your will be done, not my will. You know, and so that means that when you follow Christ, when you follow God, you are going to go through your suffering. You are, you know, and I believe that that is what it means to die to yourself, meaning that following Christ will mean suffering. We look in 1 Peter 4, right? It says, since Christ has suffered in his body, we must be ready to suffer also. Suffering puts an end to sin. You should no longer spend the rest of your life giving into the sinful desires of the flesh, but do what God wants as long as you live in this world. In the past, you gave enough of your life over to living like the people who do not know God. You gave your life to sex, sins, and to sinful desires. You got drunk and you went to wild parties and to drinking parties, and you worship false gods. Those who do not know God are surprised you do not join them in the sinful things they do. They laugh at you and say bad things against you. Remember, they will give an answer to him who judges all who are living or dead. And that's what Judgment Day is all about, right? 6. For this reason, the good news was preached to the dead. They stood in the flesh before the one who judges, so they might live in the spirit as God wants. So that's what we see, you know, in 1 Peter 4, 1 to 6, about following Christ will mean suffering. You will go through some things. And I want you to remember that. And that's what this, study is trying to shine the light on, that we are going to endure some things, but we have to know that, you know, God, Jesus said that I have overcome the world, you know, be of good cheer. Okay. So we take examples from Jesus Christ and how to endure this sufferings that we have to go through. And I read from the New Life Version because I believe that that's, a little more, clear and understanding for those that are listening. So we look to see that, you know, this is the time where Jesus was on the cross, you know, and was on there for many hours, 6 hours on the cross. I mean, think about it. 6 hours on the cross. That's a lot of time bleeding and just weakened on the cross. That's a lot of time of suffering. You know? That's a lot of time of suffering. And then when we look, it says that in John 16:33, right? Let's look at John 16:33. It says, I have overcome the world. It says, John 16:25-33, it says this, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. 28. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. 29. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. 31. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And this is a great example of what it is that when you go through the discipleship of being a child of God, you are going to be having tribulations. Jesus told the disciples, listen, there are going to be tribulations, but guess what? Take heart, because I have overcome the world, right? I have overcome the world. So Jesus is letting you know right now that yes, he went through the sufferings that he went through to give you life, life abundantly. And also he's reminding you that there are going to be times of trials and tribulations, but take heart, he has overcome the world. So let's continue to look at this. When Jesus died, right, history was changed forever, because he became our blood covenant with God and triumph over hell, death, and the grave. Amen to that, right? When he died, his blood became a covenant with God, and that caused him to have the victory over hell, over death, because he rose up on the third day, and over the grave, correct? And so now he has power in all his hands, right? And have victory over the enemy. So in this time, you pray for deliverance during this watch. You can pray for deliverance because the power is in the hand of Jesus Christ. The power is in the hand of God. We have a blood covenant, which is why the Bible says that when we pray, we can come to the Father through Jesus Christ, right? We are able to come to the Father through the name of Jesus. Through the name of Jesus, right? We can come to God through the name of Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Guess what? Jesus is an intercessor, right? He's an intercessor. He's an ultimate intercessor. And he's always interceding on our behalf, right? He lives forever to intercede with God on our behalf. Do you know who doesn't intercede for us? The enemy. The enemy is an accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before the Lord. But Jesus intercedes for us before God. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to intercede for me. Right? I want him to intercede for me. So after his resurrection, after Jesus resurrected on the third day, Jesus Christ gave us the power to have the same victory as he did. Okay, so we have the same victory. We have the same power. Rejoice that you have turned your back on sin, because you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So we have power because Jesus gave us power. His death was not just to wipe our sins, but also to to hand to us the power that the enemy tried to take from us. Okay? And so when we look, we've really dig deep into what this 8 prayer wash is about. It's all about Jesus Christ. All about Jesus Christ. Okay? So if you're somebody that want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you are like, I really want to know who Jesus is. I've heard about him, but I want to know who he is. Okay? The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, Jesus Christ is the light, right? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanse us from all sins. So if you're somebody that want to give your life to the Lord, and you just feel like this is the time, you want to, you know, have that life abundantly, you kind of got a clarity of what this is all about, why you are on earth, why you are, you know, having a desire to know who Jesus is, you feel like this is the time. You really feel like God is knocking at your heart with this message that, you know, talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ and how he laid down his life for you and I, and went through all the sufferings that he went through, and that, you know, when he died we saw him resurrect, and he's sitting at the right hand side of God and interceding for us. And that he gave us power, that he took the power back from the enemy that, you know, Adam gave to Adam and Eve gave to the enemy because of the sins in the garden, right? In the Garden of Eden. Now the power has been taken back and given to us. You want to know how to walk in this power. You want to know how to walk with Christ, be one with Christ, be crucified with him, to allow him to live through you, to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. This is the time that you can pray the salvation prayer with me. So I want you to pray with me. You can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross to save me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me become the person that you want me to become. In every area of my life, I surrender it all to you. And it's in the name of Jesus. I receive the Holy Spirit. I receive you, Jesus Christ. And I receive you, God, into my life. Amen. All right, so if you've prayed a salvation prayer, welcome to the family. Welcome. You have been one with Christ. Remember that God has forgiven you because he has allowed his son Jesus Christ to wash you clean. And so no longer are you bound to sin. No longer are you, sinful, because the blood of Jesus has wiped you clean. Okay. It is far from the east as it is from the west, meaning that God doesn't remember it anymore. Whatever you did from, you know, before you prayed a salvation prayer to, before, you know, many times when you were born in the past, it's all forgiven. It's all cleansed. All right. So remember that you are a new person. You are a new person that God has wiped away all your sins. And now you are a new person before the Lord. So you can come boldly to the throne, like I talked about. You can come boldly to the throne. Hebrews. Right? You can come boldly to the throne. Hebrews 4:16. You have become a co-heir of Jesus Christ. That the same power has been given to you. All right? To glorify the name of Jesus. To glorify the name of God. All right? And so I want to teach you all how to pray a sample of the 8 prayer watch. So let's listen to this worship song. And after that, we're going to learn how to pray the the 8 prayer watch. So I'm going to give you an example of how to pray that, okay, so that you would know how to do that. If you're somebody that you feel like you called during this time, you feel like you have a desire to pray during this 3 p.m to 6 p.m you feel like you need to worship, you need to pray, how do you do that? I'm going to teach you how to pray that prayer. I'm going to give you an example. All right, so let's listen to this worship song by Todd Dewinley. Since we've been talking about Jesus for the 8 prayer watch, I want to direct your attention to John 17, a time when Jesus prayed for himself, a time when Jesus prays for the disciples, and a time when Jesus prayed for the believers. I think this is a great thing to look at because, you know, mostly when we go through things in our lives, we tend to want to get help from other people. But we see here that Jesus prays for himself. It's okay to pray for yourself. It's okay to spend time praying to the Lord concerning yourself, you know? And so I want us to look at when Jesus prays for himself. Let's look at John 17. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And what we see here is that Jesus prayed to the Father concerning himself, right? Now let's see what Jesus prays for, how he prays for his disciples. So John 17, 6 to 19, Jesus prays for his disciples. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. 9. I pray for them. So it says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept. I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I love that, you know, how Jesus prays for his disciples. It's very important that, you know, in ministry, you pray for the people that you're doing ministry with. And that's an example of how Jesus shows us that, you know, hey, he does pray for his disciples. And I believe that even then, you know, he prayed for Judas, you know, he prayed for Peter, who's going to later on deny him two times, you know, in John 18. So we see that Jesus praying for his disciples. It's very important that you pray for the people that you're around, that you do ministry with. Let's look at Jesus praying for all believers. John 17, 20 to 26. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, as in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. And I love that. I love how Jesus demonstrates prayer. You know, not only did he teach us the Lord's Prayer, you know, in Luke, but he also teaches us to pray for ourselves and also to pray for those that we are around, those that we work with, those that we do ministry with, you know, and also to pray for others that are to come. You know, he prayed for believers, even believers that are to come, you and me right now. He prayed for us during this time, even believers that are yet to know him. He prayed and he prayed a prayer over them. And so I love that about how Jesus demonstrated prayer in those three different sections of John 17. All right, so that song was Let It Flow by Todd Dewinley. I love his worship. You can go to iTunes, Spotify, to go to Google Play, YouTube to find his music. It's very, very inspirational and such a blessing. So I want to show you how to pray the 8 prayer watch. So if you're new to this and you don't know what to target, what to pray about, I just want you to listen to this as an example, because I know that, you know, flowing with the Lord in prayer is the key to flow with God. But if you're new to this, this is an example of how to pray, okay? And I pray that, you know, there'll come a time where you will just flow with the Holy Spirit and you will hear what he's saying and you will just go along and just pray what he's telling you to pray, okay? So Heavenly Father, I have been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, as according to Galatians 2:20. God, I give myself completely to you. I am a tool in your hands to be used for your good purposes. You have created me in Christ Jesus to live a life filled with good works that you have enabled me to do by the power of your Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. Now, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God, you have begun a good work within me, and you will continue to help me grow in your grace until your task is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. As it says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me, in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I am grateful that you always lead me in victory through Jesus Christ, and you use me to spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ everywhere I go like a perfume. So I pray and I release this time to you, and I seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of Jesus I do pray. Amen. So now I want to end with this Bible verse. It says 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Jesus, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And I love that. I love that so much, that through Jesus Christ, we have been able to triumph over everything, right? But thanks be to God, who in Christ. So remember that you are in Christ, with Christ. He's with you in all places. So now I'm going to play this song. It's called Psalms 23. And I hope that it blesses you. All right, so that ends our 8 prayer watch, our whole prayer series for the month of August and September. I just thank you all so much for listening to Mimi's Message prayer series. And I hope that you have been edified, you have been blessed, and you have grown in prayer, because there is power in prayer, the power of prayer. Prayer has power. Trust me on that. There are many times where I felt that I have, you know, issues, or I have struggles, or I have things that I cannot just wrap my head around. And I'm like, how is this gonna work out? But then I go before my knees and I just worship and I pray to the Lord. And I kid you not, within a day or two, sometimes in the same day, the issue is resolved. I pray about everything, little things, big things. Even when I can't find my glasses, when I can't find something, I'm like, Lord, help me. And literally within seconds, I find it. When I don't pray and I try to find something, you know, it takes hours, it takes minutes. But the moment I pray, God just come through and I find it so quickly. You know, the thing I know about God is that He wants us to converse with Him. Prayer is conversation. He wants us to talk to Him throughout our day. Everything. Big things, little things, medium things. He wants to be part of it. So open your mouth and pray to the Lord. Open your mouth and converse with Him. And remember, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. God speaks back to us. He speaks. He reveals to us. He gives us revelations. He shows us things. He brings his spirit in the room. He reveals to us. He speaks back to us. But we have to listen. And so when you are praying, remember to have that Selah moment, that quiet time. And just sit before the Lord and let your senses be submitted to Him. And you will hear Him. You will hear Him clear. You will hear Him. He will speak to you. He will reveal things to you. He will lead you to a Bible verse. He will lead a song in your heart. He will release His answers to you. And I pray that when you do pray, you expect. You pray in faith and expect in faith. The God that is high and look low, He hears you. And He will send answers. All right. And so I hope that you have been blessed as much as I have been throughout this prayer series, from the first prayer watch to the 8th prayer watch today, that we have wrapped it up with a nice bow. And so now I'm going to play this song. And I hope that this song edifies you and really encourage you. I love Psalms 23. I love praying Psalms 23. I love praying the Lord's Prayer. I love praying Psalms 91 as well. So I want you to be edified with Psalms 23 by John Rivers, okay? I hope that this blesses you, and I hope that you will go back to listen to the other prayer watches that I've talked about to edify you when God shifts you into different times of prayer. And remember to respond to the Holy Spirit when He nudges you to wake up, to get up, to sit up, and to pray. Because God is waiting to hear your voice. And He loves your voice very much. You have a blessed day. And tune in for our next series, the I Am series. Love you all. And thank you for listening to Mimi's message.
Sing, the Lord is my shepherd, He goes before me. Defender behind me, sing, I won't fear. Across this place, would you sing hallelujah? Hallelujah. He's my comfort, and He always sing, He always guides me, and He always guides me.
My comfort, He's my comfort. And He always